Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us in Colossians. Thank you that through it you speak to us, you teach us, and you mold us into the image of your Son. We pray that in his name we will hear your word and take it to heart. Amen.
Amen.
When I was in year one, I knew that I was going to be going to a new school because my family were moving interstate. And so for show and tell one day, what I took along was my new uniform for my new school. I was very excited about it. I'm not so sure if the other students were as excited. But I felt proud to be able to show off to them my new uniform that I was going to be wearing at my new school. It wasn't appropriate to wear it at that time yet, but I was looking forward to what was coming. And so I was excited about it as well. And we see it here around us, don't we? Apparently, Australia is quite unique in having school uniforms for pretty much all of our schools. And kids really get into it, don't they? You might see at the end of the year, the oldest kids at the St. Jude's Early Learning Centre wearing the uniforms for the schools that they will be going to in kindergarten the following year. And you can see them wearing them so proudly, so excited about what is coming for them as well. It shows where they're going. It shows what they're thinking about. It shows where their identity is heading as well. And so our passage today in Colossians, it talks about clothing a little bit like a uniform, taking off an old self, putting on a new one. It's something that lots of people do during their lives, changing themselves, reinventing themselves, trying to take off an old self, putting on a new one. It can be to do with their outward appearance, what they wear. It can be much deeper as well. But how amazing would it be to have a new self, not that we have to go and look for ourselves, but one given to us by God himself? Because when we trust in Jesus, we belong to him. It makes sense for us to take off the things of this world and to put on what reflects Jesus. In today's passage, Paul encourages the Christians in Colossae to remember where they're going, to remember who they are at that time, that they have been raised with Christ, that they should therefore seek the things that are above. There's an old saying that you might have heard that Christians can be so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly use. I understand what that is getting at, but it does not reflect true faith in Christ as it is shown to us in his word. In this passage, we're to be so heavenly minded that we're of immense earthly use. That's what seeking the things above is. We were raised with Christ. This has already happened because we were with Christ in his death as well. We are that linked to him. We were dead in our sins. Spiritually, we died with him on the cross, and spiritually, we are alive with him. And verse 4, we will be with Christ in glory forever. This is the reality of the situation for people who trust in Jesus right now, not because of what we have done or what we continue to try to do, but because of what he has done for us. We don't do these things to be with Christ. We do them because we are with Christ. And why do them at all? Well, because to not live this way, to not take off the things of the world and put on the things of heaven, it would be to make a mockery of what he has done to achieve our salvation and this new life in the first place. For example, if someone has an experience where they're in danger and where they are close to death and yet they survive, it changes their perspective. It gives them a new lease of life. They don't want to waste it. They want to change. Everything changes. Relationships matter more. Priorities change. Often, such a person is more grateful. They want to live differently because they know they have been given this opportunity. And that's what it is to live with Christ. And so as a result of this reality, of where we are right now and who we are when we trust in him, point two, take off what doesn't belong to that identity. Take it off. Even stronger than that, put it to death. There's a list of things he mentions, things that were obviously issues in Colossae at the time, and we know have been issues throughout the centuries since and are just as much a problem today as well. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. These things matter. We know they matter because in verse 5, Paul says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. But why? What is it about these things that brings God's wrath? It's not just that God has decided that these are the rules, this is what he likes, this is what he doesn't like. Each of them take a good gift from God and twist it and corrupt it in a way that hurts people, that hurts others, that hurts ourselves and each other. For example, sexual immorality listed there. It's one word that everyone agrees that that's a bad thing, that it sounds bad. But so many in our community disagree about what it actually means. We know that the Bible isn't anti-sex, far from it. It's a good gift from God, created to be enjoyed in a lifelong marriage between a man and a woman. Intimate, joyful, uniting. The Bible celebrates it. But it's taking this good gift and then using it outside of God's good design. That is a corruption. Whether it's our actions, our desires, where our hearts are, God isn't trying to rob us of something good. He's trying to protect something precious that he's made. And similarly, greed, idolatry, taking the good gifts of God, but not trusting the one who gives them to us. Focusing on getting more and more for ourselves, even replacing God with the gifts that he has given to us, making them into the thing that we pursue rather than him. We're told to put these things to death. Once a month here at church, we have a working bee. I know some of you come along to that. And some months there's more to do than others, depending on where things are at the time of year. But each month, there's always one task that can be done, and that is putting to death the Madeira vine. I knew that one would get a chuckle. It takes over. You have to continually go back to it. You have to get it from the root. You know that each month there'll be more of it. You're tempted to think, well, we should just let it go, but you know that if we do, it will take over. And that's what putting to death is. It's a decision right now, but it's one that is also a process into the future as well. Now, lest any of us hear about this list that Paul has given and think, well, I have no issues with any of that. This isn't talking about me. Paul goes on in verse 8. We should also rid ourselves of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from our lips, and lying to one another as well. And these are things that are harder to see. These are things that are easier to justify in our hearts, to explain away, thinking, well, I had to speak in that way or say that thing to get ahead for the greater good, to be liked, to be accepted, to pursue some other goal. But no, this is part of the old self, what we are to take off. This kind of speech, these kinds of thoughts. Because we're being renewed into the image of our Creator. Some of you might have been following the Soccer World Cup. In fact, one of the games is happening at this very moment, the third and fourth place game between England and France. Before the service, last I heard, England were doing very, very well. How strange would it be for someone to go to that game and try and have a bet each way, to say, well, I'm going to wear half one team, half the other team. The fans around them from both sides would reject them. It just doesn't work. You have to take off one uniform before putting on the other. We put on the new self in the image of Jesus and are renewed in his image. And this becomes the most important thing about us. That's why we can read in verse 11 that in this way of thinking, there's no Gentile or Jew. There's no other group that is more important than trusting in Jesus either. There's a new humanity here. The distinctions of the world, they still exist, but they're put in their proper place. Paul is telling them that even non-Jews, even barbarians, non-Jewish people who were looked down on by lots of others for how they talked, mocking them for babbling in a bar, bar, bar kind of way, even they are included in Christ when they trust in him. Even the Scythians, those who were seen as the worst of the barbarians, living way to the north, north of the Black Sea, in Christ there is no difference, even free and slave. This distinction that above all signifies what agency a person has and what worth they seem to have to others, in Christ there is no difference. When we take off the things of the world and put on what reflects Christ, and from verse 12 we're shown what reflects Christ. You can't just take one off and then leave it at that. You have to then put on where you are going and who you want to reflect. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. This is what members of Jesus' church should look like. This is who we are in reality, spiritually, in heaven right now. And so we're told to be this now. The language used here as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, it reflects the language that was used back in the beginning of the biblical story in the Old Testament as Moses was telling the Israelites to remember who they are as they were preparing to enter the promised land. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 and 7, he says to them, "You are a people holy to the Lord your God." He tells them they were chosen out of all the people on earth. And in verse 7, "The Lord did not set his affections on you or choose you because you are more numerous than the other peoples, for you are the fewest of all peoples." They were chosen out of God's love, not because of anything they had done. And so they were told to remember who they are, to be who they are in God's eyes. And so we are told the same thing, to remember who we are in God's eyes because of Christ. There's a great list of virtues here, things that we would all love to be, that we can work on day by day. But notice the virtue that is above all of them, that ties them all together, love. It's described like an overgarment, something that ties the whole outfit together, something without which nothing else would make sense. Love for each other, for Christ, for our world as well. And we can be these people because in the last section of this passage, we can do it knowing the peace of Christ and the message of Christ. Because when I hear this list of things that I should take off and things that I should put on, it can cause anxiety in me about how I'm going to do this. But verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. What is the peace of Christ? It's the peace that he embodies in his life and that he brings to us as well. It's to rule our hearts like an umpire rules any game of sport. In any contested situation, saying what's right and wrong, that's what the peace of Christ does in our hearts. And we know the peace of Christ by knowing the message of Christ. Teaching each other here as a church, admonishing each other when we need to as well, and reminding each other of who Jesus is in our prayers, in our speech, and above all, in our song. This is why we sing together in church. Verse 16, admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing with gratitude in your hearts. I like singing, but I know that not everyone does. I've known this from a young age. I remember when I had chapel services back at school, they were excruciating because so many people would stand there and just make the tiniest little sound, the absolute minimum. And so even though I knew I enjoyed singing, I would do the same thing. One day, the teachers had had enough and said we couldn't go to recess until we'd actually put some effort in and made a good sound. And the funny thing is that once everyone started singing, everyone enjoyed it as well. Now, singing together is not just about enjoyment. It is about encouraging one another. You might decide that you don't have the most tuneful voice, but that doesn't matter. You learn about Jesus through singing together. And you can encourage the person next to you who might not know the words, who might not have done this together before, by making a joyful noise with gratitude in your heart. And when we come together, we are worshiping God, but it doesn't stop there either. The last verse of our passage Paul says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. From Colossians, we've seen that what we do matters to God, and what we say matters to God. You can't separate them. They're linked. And it's not just while we're here at church. It's all of our lives that matter to God, and therefore all of our lives can be described as worship, as living as the people he has made us to be with this message. So live in the clothes that fit your new identity. Set your mind on who you truly are now in Christ. Take sin seriously. It's the clothing of the old self. Don't keep wearing those old clothes. Instead, put on Christ in your relationships, your words, and your actions. Because we belong to Jesus, it makes sense to take off the old, to put on the new, and put on whatever reflects him, knowing that it's the uniform of not just who we are now, but who we will be and what we will be doing into eternity as well. What an exciting uniform to be able to wear together right now, knowing that it might look strange to the world around us. It might sometimes look out of place, but it reflects where we're going. It reflects who we are, and it reflects who God wants us to be in the image of his son, Jesus. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are truly alive in you. Please help us to live now in that heavenly reality, taking off the old self and putting on the new self that reflects your son, Jesus. Please enable us to do that with the help of your Holy Spirit, to encourage one another in this as well, to be a blessing to each other, to glorify you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.